Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and let me invite the children to come forward for a brief message. All are welcome. Yeah. Come on up. Yeah, good to see everybody. Thanks for coming. So today in our lesson, in our story, Jesus was trying to teach the disciples something. They were so involved with their own importance. They just wanted to be great, greater than everybody else. And so Jesus, to teach them a lesson, took someone who was not so great, at least not so big. Jesus took a child and placed that child in the middle of all the disciples. Now, in my confirmation class, somebody asked, "Well, where did that child come from?" And I kind of think, well, just I wonder who that child was. Does anybody know who that child was? We don't. Oh, yeah. No, that's a good, it wasn't Jesus, but Jesus did come as a child. That's a very good answer, because Jesus came to us as someone who was so small, seemingly so insignificant and unimportant in some small little town, but yet he was bringing life to the whole world. So great answer. Thank you, Sarah. I'm wondering who could that child be anyway? Could it be you? You don't live... But why do we read the story? We are all along the way. Jesus is walking along the way with the disciples, but we read the story because Jesus wants to go on the way with us too, and wants us to know that he is always with us in traveling. And so when Jesus sets the child in the middle to say how important the least of these are, Jesus is thinking about you as well, as he is thinking about everyone gathered here this day, because everybody has parents, right? But who is the parent of all? God is the parent of all. And so when Jesus sets that child in the middle, he wants us all to know that we are God's children, that we are cared for and loved, and in God's heart and soul and eyes, we are all great in the Lord. And when we know that we are loved and cared for in God's sight, how can we treat other people? Jesus says we can be servant of all and treat them and welcome them and set them in the middle of our community. So let's gather around in a circle and say a prayer. Thank you guys for coming up. Almighty God, we give you thanks that you care for all of us and lift all of us up as your children and love and care for us, and that you empower us to care and love one another and to treat each other as our sisters and brothers in faith. We ask your blessing upon these children in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Sarah, that was a good answer. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is always on the way. He's on a journey. He's moving along, and he's bringing his disciples with. As I was telling the children, it's true, even though we didn't live 2,000 years ago, we read the story. It's present to us. We go along with Jesus. We are on the way. Jesus was teaching always as he was traveling along. He was teaching the disciples, but he is always also teaching us as well. So what is it that was the big lesson that Jesus is trying to teach while he is on the way? Think about his entire ministry, his entire teaching on the way. In fact, the way, the journey itself, all that went on was the teaching, the lesson. And it was a transformational lesson that changed those who encountered it, intended to transform the disciples. We read it today. We are set also as children in the middle of the community of faith, that we might also be forgiven and transformed and sent and called. Jesus taught these world-changing, inclusive, welcoming lessons. As I was telling the confirmands, that when Jesus healed, he kind of always did it in pairs. On one hand, he would heal a man, then he would also heal a woman to give the message that all are included in God's healing, God's health care, if you will. He fed 5,000 folks in his own area and country, but then a bit later, he was in foreign territory and he fed 4,000 in alien and Gentile territory. Particularly in the Gospel of Mark, he's constantly going back and forth across the Lake of Galilee. One side is Galilee, his home territory. The other side is the Decapolis, Gentile folks. It's as if he is stitching together Israel with non-Israelite people. He welcomed outsiders and the unclean into relationship and community. He accepted the unacceptable. He forgave sinners. And he challenged hierarchical authority based upon status and ethnicity. He was teaching about himself, how he would be killed and rise again. But just as much, he wanted to teach his disciples about themselves. He wants to teach us about ourselves. Could they even grasp who he was and what he is doing without understanding themselves? Could we? The disciples, it seems, had a hard time learning. What had captured their consciousness on the way were not these living lessons of Jesus, but this argument about who was greatest. You notice in the gospel, Jesus always downplays any sense of greatness for himself at every turn on the way. He was living out his teaching about being servant of all. But the disciples seemed to be on a different journey, another way, a different understanding of personhood, of relationship with Jesus. They are arguing about greatness. They spent their journey, their life's work, if you will, thinking about who will be the greatest. In our lesson today, it is as if Jesus says, wait a minute, calls time out. After all this journeying around on the way with extraordinary events of inclusion and welcome, here they are arguing, forgetting about all that stuff, arguing about who is the greatest. So he gathers the 12 around them. Are we also the ones whom Jesus gathers around him? He sets a child in the midst of them. We might say, well, that's cute, that's winsome. But in those days, particularly, children, although they were loved, they had no status. In the hierarchy of things, they were the least, symbols of others and outsiders. In a sense, they were non-persons, social non-entities. And in that society, they were the most vulnerable of individuals. But in Jesus' mind, they are symbolic and one with all those whom he had welcomed and healed and fed. Whoever welcomes me, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but the one who sent me. To welcome rather than casting out is the true mark of God's realm, which Jesus is bringing to his time and to our time as well. The way to welcome Jesus, the way to be in relationship with Jesus, was to welcome and be in accepting relationship with those who have been rejected, or disregarded, or dehumanized, the very least of these, the children among us, those looked upon or ignored as non-persons, as represented by that child in their midst. Jesus' assertion, his promise to us, is that such a welcome also means that the one who sent Jesus will be welcomed, will be present among them, Emmanuel, God with him. And so in this encounter, this story, we have a glimpse of the realm of God, which Jesus claims to be bringing. Such is the journey that he is on, and on which he is taking his disciples, and on which he is taking us. They are not journeying toward a place of power and greatness. They are journeying toward the cross. Jesus will be betrayed or misunderstood. In the concern for personal greatness over against others, the disciples themselves are part of the betrayal. In their concern for greatness and power elevated above others, they miss Jesus' call to servanthood. The Son of Man will be betrayed. What are we in our age arguing about? What is our nation arguing about along the way? Who is to be greatest? Failure to follow Jesus, failure to welcome the child, the lost, to accept the unacceptable is betrayal. And isn't it a hellish existence to be always concerned about your own greatness and to be putting others aside, excluding, putting down? It's a great question for the disciples, as it is for us, certainly for our nation as well as the church. The Son of Man will be killed. On the cross, Jesus suffers a violent death. But his teaching about welcome, his entire journey tells us that in reaction to a violent death, he gives a nonviolent response. He is long-suffering with his disciples. He is long-suffering with us. And his response is nonviolent. It is forgiveness and the promise of life, which means welcome the lost children, and you welcome me and the one who sent me. Jesus is never concerned about who will be greatest, and he is never violent in his attitude and care toward us, but forgiving, renewing, and sending. With Jesus' death and resurrection, we are always coming around again, particularly in the Gospel of Mark, to receive God's realm, to be called once more to be people of God, to be disciples. Jesus takes the child and puts her among them, in the center of the community, in the center of God's heart. This story is not an object lesson, but it is a loving action, even of resurrection life, that changes the whole world. They, the disciples, they are the child. They are the received. They are the welcomed. They are the forgiven. Now they are to receive. They are to welcome. You are the child. You are received. You are welcomed and empowered, sent, called to receive and welcome the lost. In Christ's name, on the way. Amen.